It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump Day, and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and op-eds. We would appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like. And you can sign up for our next Voters Guide event over at Water's Edge Winery. We had our event on Monday night. It was terrific. Great conversation. In the spirit of the Founding Fathers, we did not agree on everything, but great conversation about that. The next one will be October 19th. It is $20 plus a $3 processing fee. And then you will order what you want to eat and drink there. Chef D had made this amazing pumpkin coconut bisque for the event. So sign up. We'd love to have you join us. In studio with me, it's Liberty Toastmasters Day. In studio with me is Marshall Dawson. Marshall, you are the president of Liberty Toastmasters North, right?
I am, yeah, and I'm really glad to be here on Liberty Toastmasters Day. Looking forward to some good conversations.
One of the things that we do in Liberty Toastmasters is we try to make each other better speakers. And many people, all of us actually, use filler words like you know, those kinds of things. I was talking with a friend of mine and was noticing that she says a lot. And then I was listening to myself on the radio and I say so. So is my favorite filler words. So she and I were talking to each other. We were trying to not use our filler words. We could hardly talk to each other, Marshall Dawson.
That's right. And so is a really popular one these days. You know, a lot of times what I struggle with is tripping over my words and tripping over my thoughts. And a lot of times we would call that like a double clutch in Toastmasters. I just showed you an example of one right there.
I missed it.
Oh.
It makes us better. And we need to be engaging in this battle of ideas. We need to be able to communicate with each other. And we need to strive to be better communicators. Liberty Toastmasters, our good friend Brad Beck, is one of the co-founders there, has helped so many people with this. And it's great to have you here. In the third and fourth segment, we will have a number of our other colleagues call in. The subject that we have given them is one of the issues on the Colorado ballot, and we'll find out what they think about that. But it is just great to have you here, Marshall.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the invitation.
We're going to go through some of the headlines this first segment. Second segment, John Kellner, who is running for district attorney in, it is Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln County will be joining us. Community safety, Marshall Dawson, is really at the forefront. We've taken community safety for granted. And instead of making all of our communities more dangerous, how about let's make all of our communities safer? And the way to do that is to elect district attorneys who strive to impartially look for justice. And it'll be a great conversation, Marshall.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it seems like common sense, but so often we see activist district attorneys who, you know, want to turn people loose, no bail, things like that. It's really kind of stunning when you see a lot of the things that are going on, not just in Colorado, but around the nation right now.
And these races are super important. So we'll talk to John Kellner in the second segment on that. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And actually now, freedom versus fear. They're using fear to do all kinds of things forcefully to us. And we need to be striving towards freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. And one of my colleagues in Liberty Denver, which is the Liberty Toastmasters group that I'm in, had shared with us, he said, this was during kind of when the whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption started. He said, fear knocked at the door. Truth answered, and then there was no one there. I loved that. I thought that was a great one.
A good one.
That's a good one. Our quote for today is Edward R. Murrow. And he was an American broadcast journalist and war correspondent. He first gained prominence during World War II with a series of live radio broadcasts from Europe for the news division of CBS. During the war, he recruited and worked mostly with a team of war correspondents who came to be known as the Murrow Boys. He was born in 1908. He died in 1965. And producer Steve, I thought this was a good one, just given the fact we're having all these conversations today. He said, just once in a while, let us exalt the importance of ideas and information. That was very prescient, given that last night was the Trump-Biden debates, producer Steve.
Well, I think we discussed this a little bit yesterday, post-show. There was a movie came out, I guess, in the early 2000s called Good Night and Good Luck, which was Murrow's trademark sign-off every time he did a broadcast. But what really struck me about the movie and reading about him was, I think his particular, you know, it was centered on the McCarthyism and the McCarthy debacle that was going on in terms of the chase hunting down communists. And I think the way that at least the movie portrayed him is that he was amazed at, you know, the first real pushback from senior network people at CBS on whether or not they wanted to cover the truth or not. And that was kind of the premise for the whole movie. It was very interesting.
And what's the name of the movie again?
I believe it was Good Night and Good Luck, which again was his trademark sign-off on any of his broadcasts.
Okay. That voice you heard is producer Steve. I do get to work with this great team of Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I thank you, each one of you, and to each of you listeners, thank you. You are treasured, you're valued. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Wanted to mention a few of these headlines. On Monday, Patty had found this headline regarding, now I've got to get to it right here, is this was on CBS Local. And wasn't that what we said that Merle was with? He would be astounded at what happened. We reported on Monday that the Colorado Secretary of State had been sending non-citizens and dead citizens little notes to be sure and vote, to register to vote. When Patty went back to check that link is now down, and there is a new story out there by CBS for Local that says that Secretary of State Gina Griswold is trying to clear up any confusion after a story by CBS4 about voter registration mailing by her office. She said these mailings are really powerful. They get a lot of people registered in Colorado. The mailing she was referring to says our records indicate that you or a member of your household may be eligible to vote, but do not appear to be registered at your current address. Goes on to delineate the qualifications to vote, 18 years of age, blah, blah, blah. But basically, they took down the story and then they rewrote it. My friends, when people do not shoot straight with you on one thing, you can't trust them on others. Let's talk a little bit about the debate. Marshall Dawson, did you watch the debate last night?
Yes, Kim, I watched the debate last night. It was kind of a miserable hour and a half that I sat through, but yeah, I did watch it.
Well played, well said.
And producer Steve, your thoughts on it?
Well, I couldn't wait. After hearing the open of another show this morning talking about it, to get here, to go on dictionary.com and find the definition of the word debate, a formal contest in which the affirmative and negative sides of a proposition are advocated by opposing speakers. I am not sure that's what we saw.
Well, I really felt, I said to Steve, we always do this pre-call on the way in, I said it really was, I thought, 2-1, or maybe it was just 1.5-1.
Yeah, and I agree with Steve. I was really hesitant to even call that a debate.
Slugfest.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure all the Biden people are saying, oh, Trump was so aggressive, he was the aggressor, plainly. But I thought, wait a minute. He cannot allow his first term to be dismantled or besmirched by someone like Joe Biden. So, yeah, he was probably on the aggressive side.
Well, I think that is really the narrative. I think that was the plan that they had out there, that they wanted to put something out there And then when Trump would try to refute it, then Chris Wallace was talking all over him, saying, your time is up, and we agreed to these rules for the debate. And Chris Wallace is supposed to be somewhat friendly to Donald Trump. Can you imagine what's going to happen with the balance of these debates, Marshall?
I think we know exactly what will happen. One thing that stood out to me was Biden kept accusing Trump of not having a plan, for example, for COVID. But yet, when it came to Biden, he said, well, we'll just bring people in and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
There was really no plan from Biden.
Really, the only thing that I really see people, I do not see people voting for Biden because they think that he has great policies. I see people, many people are voting for Biden because of this hatred that's been fomented against Trump. Because if you were in a real debate regarding policy, hands down, Donald Trump has done amazing things for the everyday American people. And what is at stake here is years and years and years of the, you call them the elite, on both sides of the aisle that have been in power in Washington. And they've made their livings off the backs of everyday hardworking people. And that is what is at stake. Trump continued to try to bring up Hunter Biden. I thought that interlude, I ended up not seeing the very end because I was at a debate party, which was fun. When they were talking about Hunter Biden, and then it seemed that Joe Biden wanted to talk about his son who had passed on, who had been a veteran, that was not who Trump needed to talk about. He needed to talk about Hunter Biden, and they were trying to deflect, which is another thing that you learn in a debate, is instead of asking that question, you deflect. And that is what I think Biden was trying to do.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, for my taste, I thought that Trump hammered on Hunter Biden's flaws a little bit too much. I think it's really important to talk about the money that he accepted from the foreign governments and all the people in power there. You know, his problems with drugs, I could have maybe done without that. But then also talking about what Biden did and kind of grandstanding and starting to yell about, things that Trump might have said about his son, Beau, to me that looked just really scripted, really practiced. And if you looked at how the camera angle was, it was almost like, you know, the news organizations knew that that was coming. So that came across to me feeling a little fake and not too genuine from Joe Biden.
Well, we know in the last election that Donna Brazile actually gave Hillary Clinton the questions before. So the news organizations out there, and Chris Wallace said that, no, we did not give them the questions before. However, I felt that there was some collaboration on how they were going to have the debate go. And with Chris Wallace talking over President Trump, and then, of course, President Trump's talking over Biden. It was a bit of a slugfest. Steve, before we go to break, it looks like somebody, I bet John Kellner's calling in, so we'll go ahead and go to break. Before we do that, though, one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. Marshall, these days in September are beautiful days. What a great time to just get together with friends, sit out on the patio, have some appetizers, and just sit and visit. I love these days,
yeah.
Marshall.
Yeah. By the way, are wings considered meals in Colorado? Because I think in certain states they're not.
I'm not sure. And sometimes that can depend on whether or not a restaurant can be open in some of these other some of these other states. But it's food here for sure.
Things have been meals for me plenty of times.
Great. Well, Hooters Restaurants has 5 great locations. They have Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. They have game day specials. They have to-go specials. They have this great party pack. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with John Kellner. He is running for district attorney in Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. That is that particular district. And community safety is so important. And we'll talk about that. In fact, we have a mutual friend. I don't know if you know this, Marshall Dawson, and I'm not going to give the name, but a mutual friend of ours was carjacked, and it really shook her up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and so we have crime coming right to our neighborhoods. We don't want that. We'll talk to John Kellner when we come back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there, as well as you can email me at kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our next Voter's Guide Salon Series over at Water's Edge Winery. It will be on October 19th. The tickets are $20 plus a $3 processing fee. Rick Turnquest and I spent hours and hours and hours coming up with our recommendations on our Voter's Guide. You can find that at my website. That is kimmunson.com. On the line with me is John Kellner, and he is the candidate for district attorney for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. John Kellner, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on.
I have so much I want to talk with you about, but I wanted to mention this. This is one of the headlines that Patty found from Colorado Sun, and it says that Governor Jared Polis on Tuesday pleaded with Colorado parents to enroll their children in school, saying that the districts have seen declines in the number of kids signed up for classes during the coronavirus crisis, especially among younger grades. I wanted to connect a dot, and that is the hard left, the activist progressive left, has been trying to get SROs out of schools, and these are school resource officers, these are police officers that are there to create a relationship with kids, to protect the kids. And the far left is trying to get SROs out of schools. And I think, in fact, John Kellner, your opponent has been colluding with some of those people. Maybe colluding is not the right word, but in contact with them.
Yeah, Kim, I think that's a pretty important connection to draw, because what we are seeing is the radical left is really bent on, putting the blame for crime statistics at the feet of SROs, so school resource officers, the people that are in our kids' schools, my kids' schools, that are there to help protect them if something bad should happen, and that are often the first to respond in the instance of a gun at school or a school shooting, something terrible. And in Denver, of course, not far away from where I'm running, the school board voted unanimously, I think it was, to actually get all the SROs out of school. And it made me wonder, do they think that the principals or the administrators from those schools will not be calling the police for help if somebody brings drugs to school, if they bring guns to school? Of course they are. But they're doing a lot of these symbolic gestures to appease their sort of far left base. And in fact, one of those, I think the young man's name is Tay Anderson, he has supported and endorsed my opponent. She proudly displays his endorsement on her website saying, hey, I think she's got these great ideas to help deal with issues at school. And if the idea behind my opponent is to support removing SROs from our kids' schools, I'll tell you, that is not going to work in our communities, because people respect the jobs that they do. We're not going to let that happen.
John Kellner, it's come onto my radar, this group called Emerge. There's Emerge America, there's Emerge Colorado, there's a number of different states that have these groups. And it was founded by a number of radical activist leftists. Hillary Clinton was involved with it. If you look at their advisory board, and we actually have done some commentary on Emerge in our voter's guide. These are women, they are recruiting Democrat women, and they put them through a program, And it is there. It's a very well-funded program. It connects women that are running for office with donors outside the state, sets them up with websites. It trains them. And the interesting thing that I have seen is it trains them to be able to talk to a crowd, to tell a crowd what they want to hear. So, for example, if your opponent was in front of people that thought school safety was important, she would be able to play to that. I think it is important that people, you can actually go to Emerge Colorado and put in a candidate's name. There's a number of women that are running. They are far left. If you mention the name Candy C. DeBaca, she's an Emerge graduate, and she's on the Denver City Council. And the things that she has called police, calling for defunding police regarding community safety, is astounding. And I just want to note that I think that your opponent is also an Emerge graduate.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. My opponent did go through this Emerge school and, you know, take advantage, I think, of all the different fundraising connections and things like that that go along with it. But a lot of the candidates, too, my goodness, all across Douglas County, I think the two county commissioners are both also Emerge graduates. And you're right. You got to look at where is the funding for this program coming from? Is it coming from that sort of far left fringe activist group, and are they importing those ideas and the candidates that they're trying to run across our local communities? That's a great question.
And it's important for voters to make that connection. And you can do that by putting in Emerge Colorado or Emerge America. Check both of those. You can put in a candidate's name. If that name comes up, you can be assured that these are women that will push forward a radical, activist, progressive, socialist mantra. And that is, and when I talk about that, you know, socialism and is basically, it's government controls everything through rules and regulations. And as freedom people, we want to be in charge of our own lives. But there's this radical activist group that thinks they should be in charge of our lives, and they don't really care about communities. They don't really care about community safety. And I wanted to make that point. And speaking of community safety, John, one of my friends was recently carjacked, and it was a very scary experience for her. And I said in the promo that was running for the last 24 hours that I used to read about crime in the newspaper or hear about it on the television or the internet. I'm now hearing about crime that is affecting people that I know very well. This is not okay. Instead of increasing crime, let's decrease crime in all neighborhoods, John Kellner.
Yeah, I am so sorry to hear about your friend, but I tell you, that is becoming an all too common thing. Crime is on the rise across the state of Colorado for the last five, almost 6 years. Now, violent crime has spiked dramatically in the last 3 months. And, you know, I just talked to somebody, three or four days ago, who told me a very similar thing, that she was just at a gas station trying to check for directions, and she got carjacked. Her car was stolen. Auto thefts are on the rise between 40% and 60%. And we're talking about hundreds of more people having their cars stolen. And people are depending on them right now to get to work or take their kids to school, things like that. And this sort of far left activist DA talks all the time about, you know what, we're going to have these alternatives to, you know, dealing with situations like this. And I'll tell you, my opponent, at one point she said, hey, I'm looking at your statistics for the 18th Judicial District, and here's somebody who was sent to prison for 18 months on a low-level felony. In my administration, that person is going to get diversion, so basically not prosecuted at all. And she doesn't know that that person had four prior felonies, was on bond for another case when they committed a theft in another county, and was sentenced to prison not just in our jurisdiction, but in Denver. But that's the mentality they bring to this idea that criminal prosecution is more about helping the offenders than it is about helping victims and achieving justice for the community. I will not stand for that.
On that, I think she's trying to play to some kind of compassion, if you will. And that is, as a district attorney, people need to know all the facts here. This is somebody that was a repeat offender. But John Kellner, I think on a compassionate side, you have been doing some things, I think in particular to help veterans that may be in the judicial system. And so you're doing some very compassionate things. I think it's important that people understand that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about experience and knowing where somebody falls on that giant spectrum of outcomes in the criminal justice system. There are some people that deserve diversion. There are some people that deserve probation. Some people that need to be in community-based programs, treatment programs, all the way up to prison for people that put our safety at risk. And I have started treatment courts in our jurisdiction, particularly the Veterans Treatment Court. And it's a program that helps veterans get back on their feet that are dealing with issues like PTSD and substance abuse that contributed to the criminal activity. We also support in the DA's office a drug treatment court. I'm on the policy board for that, a mental health court, a DUI court. And I represent the DA's office on all of those different treatment courts because we do know that rehabilitation is a key component of our justice system too.
And it's so important. So, John Kellner, I am recommending that people adopt a candidate from now until Election Day. And that means that, help, could donate, get a yard sign, make phone calls. I think you're very adoptable, correct?
I'm very adoptable. Okay. That's right.
How can people reach you?
Oh, well, come to our website, www.johnkellner.com. That's JohnKellner.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can let us know if you want to help. We will reach out to you. We can use all the help we can get in this last couple of weeks as we push towards getting the vote out here into November 3rd.
Well, John Kellner, thank you so much. We will talk to you very soon.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate having me on.
You bet. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, did you watch the debate?
Well, you know I did, Kim.
What'd you think?
I thought Trump did pretty good considering it was 2-on-1 most of the night. We talked yesterday about this, and Chris Wallace was even worse than I expected him to be. He could not just keep himself as a moderator. He wanted to be part of the debate, and quite frankly, I thought his behavior last night eclipsed the behavior of even the worst moderators that we had in 2016. He was worse than Anderson Cooper. He was worse than Martha Raddatz. He was worse than Carl Quintanilla and Becky Quick from CNBC. He was worse than Lester Holt. I mean, if his objective was to say, I can behave worse than all of the worst of the liberal moderators, then he accomplished his goal. But I think Trump still held up pretty good, again, with having to fight with both Joe Biden and Chris Wallace at the same time.
Yes, it was absolutely astounding. It seemed to me like there was some collaboration to some degree regarding just how they were going to try to make sure that Trump would not be able to really get his message across. And when Joe Biden would look into the camera, you know that was a coach thing where he's looking there, talking directly to the American people. I thought that was very scripted as well. What's the market saying about it, Jason McBride?
Nothing major this morning, Kim. I mean, the Dow futures are down about 100 points. That's nothing to sneeze at, but it's not a giant, huge beating. Yesterday, the markets had slight losses. The volume wasn't extremely heavy, so looked like a little bit of profit taking after two or three days of bouncing. So we're still kind of watching to see if which direction we're going to go now. After we had the big drop, we've tried to bounce back a little bit. Got above a little bit of resistance, and I think the market's trying to decide which way it wants to go next, back towards the highs again or down a bit more from where it's at now.
Okay. Well, I think now's a good time to do a portfolio checkup, and you are the guy to do that, you and your colleagues over at Presidential, and people can – oh. That was one other thing I wanted to mention, is the fact that you had done that whole analysis on the Trump tax cuts. after last night, Joe Biden was trying to again make it sound like that only millionaires and billionaires were benefited from the Trump tax cuts. People need to go to Air Presidential and take a look at that, because that's really important.
Well, I think so, too. And the millionaires and billionaires, some of them may have benefited, but they certainly didn't benefit as much percentage-wise as the middle class did. And in reality, with a lot of the deductions that got taken away and that type of thing, yeah, I think a lot of millionaires and billionaires, Kim, might be actually paying more than they did before.
That's very possible. So check that out at airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great show.
Will do. And Marshall Dawson, he is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North, is in studio. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with some of our colleagues, Marshall.
That sounds great.
About
Let's
the issues that are on the ballot. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It is KimMunson.com. You can sign up for our next Salon Series Voters Guide event, which will be October 19th over at Waters Edge Winery. Rick Turnquest and I have gone through and analyzed each one of these ballot questions and given our recommendations on that. We'd love to have you join us. Tickets are $20 plus a $3 processing fee. So be sure and sign up at my website. That's KimMunson.com. In studio with me is Marshall Dawson. He is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North. It's great having you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And we have many of our fellow Toastmasters calling in to talk about some of the issues that are on the ballot. There are 11 questions, and people can choose that, or they could actually talk about whatever they wanted to. So, Marshall, who is our first guest?
Well, right out of the gate, we have one of the club members from Liberty Toastmasters North, Terry Goon. Terry, what's on your mind?
Good morning. Well, Kim, one, I want to compliment you on the voter guide. It's great. It's great looking.
Thank you.
But I wanted to talk about Proposition 113, which is concerning the national popular vote. And I definitely recommend your listeners vote no on. Our nation was founded as a republic of many states. And the Constitution is set up to give both individual people their say, but also the interests of the states their say, each state being unique with their own priorities, and that the president can speak to the interests of the entire country and not just to the big mega cities. Los Angeles County's population is over 10 million people, whereas the population of Colorado is only 5.5 million people. So, of course, not every single person votes, but basically this proposition is suggesting that L.A. County, with its very unique interests, should determine who gets to be the next president without much input from those of us in smaller states. And then, you know, you can go into the insult factor. Here in Colorado, our governor and 34 Democrats just decided to let the population of California determine who we here in Colorado would give our electoral college votes to. It's just unbelievable that they decided that without such a massive change, without our input. We have to change that. By voting no on Prop 113, we can let the legislature see that we will not allow these massive changes in our laws to be jammed down our throats without a vote. We are the people who embedded in our Constitution a taxpayer bill of rights. So basically we get a say as far as our tax bill is concerned. Why would they think that allowing our electoral college votes to go to Los Angeles was a good idea? That would be my thoughts.
Excellent thoughts on that. And Terry, one thing, those that have been proponents of the national popular vote have said that it would help help our voices be heard. But you, I think you make a great point that instead of our voices being heard, we're giving our vote and our voices to these big population centers.
Definitely. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Terry Goon, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Terry. Well, next up is one of your clubmates from Denver, and that's Rick Rome. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Marshall and Kim. I'll tell you, I was traveling recently, and I saw a sign. It was, you might even say it was a sign from God because it was printed on a church billboard. And what it said was, why would I take advice about my Second Amendment rights from people who want to kill babies?
Ooh.
And it struck me. It struck me as something that was pretty profound in our day and age, because we live in an unbelievable time. There's riots in the streets. There's police being executed in the streets. There's brutality from the moment of conception in the form of abortion to the moment of our death. And there are people who would like to bring that brutality to our lives. And it's the moment of conception, that early part of life, that I'd like to address today. See, Proposition 115 addresses an issue in Colorado that I have a real concern with. See, Colorado is one of 9 states that allows for abortion up to the moment of birth.
It's astounding.
It's astounding to me that you could take a child and rip it from its mother's womb without any anesthesia, with just a fully formed baby. It's just truly astounding to me. And, you know, it's not at that point... It's not about your body. I'm sorry. 22 and a half. Excuse me, Kim. I'm a little hopped up on coffee. What 115 says is that at 22 and a half weeks, we're going to acknowledge that there's another human life involved. In the third trimester, we're going to say as a people that there's a human life involved here that has a viable chance of living a good, solid life, and it's their life to live, and we need to respect that possibility. You know, no one forced these women to wear Velcro around their knees to keep the baby from happening. The science knows what causes it. And the last time there was a virgin birth, that guy turned out to be a pretty good guy. But, you know, there's just a social cost to this thing that has me deeply, deeply concerned, and it needs to be addressed.
Well, Rick, I really do think that 115, I'd recommend that people go to our website as well and check out our voter's guide. We are recommending that, yes, that we say that after 22 and a half weeks that there will be no abortions here in Colorado, because at 22 and a half weeks, we know that the baby can feel pain. And so it seems like at least a compassionate compromise on this issue. And so, Rick Rome, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Marshall.
Thanks, Rick. Talk to you soon. Well, Kim, next up is Christy Whaley, also from the Denver Club. Good morning, Christy. What's on your mind?
Yes, good morning to both of you. Well, I came up with an approach that I take when I'm considering a proposal or an amendment. The first is, what is the first? Okay, the first is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And in that case, I can give an example. Terry eloquently talked about Amendment 113. The Electoral College has worked well for over 200 years, and there's no need to change it. I sometimes don't like the outcome, but that doesn't mean you need to change the rules. The other one is 114, and part of the problem with that one is here we're going to be reintroducing, which I didn't know the gray wolf was indigenous to Colorado, but they talk about reintroducing the gray wolf to Colorado in Proposition 114, and then managing the gray wolf. Well, I think there's a key in the title. So we get to reintroduce the gray wolf, and then we get to manage the gray wolf, which happens to be a predator and which can do much destruction to the livestock, the ranchers, and it's also, they're going to reintroduce it onto the western slope. So we don't have to deal with it, just the western slope has to deal with it, which is really, really cool. The second one is the cure worse than the disease. And that one has to do with repealing the Gallagher Amendment, which is Amendment B. Now, there might be some problems to the Gallagher Amendment, but we don't have a plan to replace it. So until we have a plan to replace it, the cure could be worse than the disease. And the last, well, can we definitely improve a situation? And that's what Rick just talked about, and that was right now a woman can abort her baby on the day of its birth, which is obscene, frankly. So this helps ameliorate that somewhat to moving back the last day you can abort your baby to 22 weeks, which is 5.5 months. So that's a good step in the right direction. We're one of the few states that allows abortion up to the day of the baby's birth. So that is way too much, and this is a good step in that direction. So those are my thoughts on what to look for when you're considering an amendment or a proposition.
I love that. And to summarize, it is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Is the cure worse than the disease? And we can improve on a situation. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, Christy Whaley, thank you so much. I think that's good advice. And also, we would recommend that people check out our voter's guide. Have you had a chance to take a look at it yet, Christy?
You know, I haven't, Kim, and I was planning to come to your last salon series, but I'll be there on the 19th. And I will download that in the meantime, though.
And I would recommend buy your tickets early because I think it will probably sell out. Last week, we only gave it about a week, and it was a full house. And now we have more time. So I'd recommend to get your ticket early on that, Christy.
I'll do it today.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, all right. Thank you, guys.
So, Marshall Dawson, we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, we have two different Liberty Toastmasters groups. Liberty Denver meets the first and third Saturdays of each month, and Liberty Toastmasters North meets the second and fourth. You are the president of Liberty North. We love guests, right?
We sure do, yeah. And that's really one of the important ways that we use to grow our clubs. We get interested people who will come in and check us out, and you know, so often that's really something that people want to be a part of.
To get our brains around these ideas, to be able to communicate, to engage in the battle of ideas, words are very important. This is a great way for us to get better at that. We should always strive to get better and better, and Liberty Toastmasters clubs do that. So how can people reach out to you at Liberty Toastmasters? How can they get more information?
Our direct website is kind of hard to remember. It's libertytoastmastersnorth.toastmastersclubs.org. But the easier way is just go to the toastmasters.org website. If you're in Longmont or if you're in Denver, look for clubs in your area. I know that ours pops right up in Longmont, and that's a great way to reach us. There's a contact form right there that you can fill out and reach us directly.
Okay. Well, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with some of our other colleagues. But before we do that, I wanted to mention another one of my great partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are a family-owned business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're open 7 days a week. I'd recommend maybe this weekend even. Go down to, I love Sedalia. It's just a great little town. But I love this store. It's really fascinating. They have knives from the best blade makers throughout the world, knives for collectors, military personnel, sportsmen, utility knives for the kitchen. I do need to get a utility knife for myself. I'm going to talk to Hal about that. So check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. Marshall Dawson, president of Liberty Toastmasters North, is in studio with me. We'll be right back with Rich Keck.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Monson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and op-eds. And right now we have our voter's guide there. I would recommend that you check that out. Rick Turnquest and I spent hours and hours and hours to come up with these recommendations. You may agree or disagree, and that is just fine. We want this to be a good tool for you. And so we actually have the ballot question. We have the link to the text if there is a referring piece of legislation or a referring measure on that. Then we have a discussion and our recommendation. So be sure and check that out at kimmonson.com. In studio with me is the president of Liberty Toastmasters Clubs North. That is Marshall Dawson. It is so great to have you here.
Yeah, good morning, Kim. Thank you.
And we have both two clubs. We have Liberty North and Liberty Denver. And we've asked some of our colleagues to join us to talk about an issue that is on the ballot. They could choose whatever they wanted. Who's our next guest?
Yeah, this is really timely that we're doing this. Our next guest is from my home club, and that's Rich Keck. Good morning, Rich. What's your issue?
Good morning, Marshall. Good morning, Kim. Thanks for doing this today. I wanted to focus on Proposition 118, which is paid family and medical leave insurance program. I've worked for a number of businesses in my 20 years in Colorado, and I've been in small businesses, and I know that when government mandates come along, there are consequences on companies and on their employees. There's no free gold pot in small businesses that allow us to just pay for benefit programs that people think we should be delivering to people. And so you introduce this kind of program through a ballot initiative. It sounds great for employees on the surface, but they have to understand, employees have to understand that, you know, your employer is going to factor this into your total compensation. Remember, 6.2% of our wages are already going for Social Security. So that means your take-home pay is being reduced by 6.2% for the employee's share when it comes to Social Security. And what people don't remember is there's a 6.2% tax on the employer also. So this paid family and medical leave insurance program may sound nice, but it's going to have an impact on compensation, on companies' flexibility with their employees, because there's unintended consequences with these programs.
Rich, just a quick comment on this, because I've looked at this from the business component of it. I am a bit concerned. And at our meeting the other night, someone brought up that for a young working family, this could sound very attractive, that you could take paid time off to take care of a child or, say, an elderly parent. And they're playing to that compassion. And we need to look at this from a bigger picture thing. Another thing that people don't understand is that written into this legislation is that the director, who is an unelected bureaucrat, would have the power in the future to adjust the tax rates, in essence, increase taxes, which would take more money from people's pocketbooks. And to give an unelected bureaucrat that power is very concerning, Rich.
I would agree. Absolutely. I think this has been bounced around the state legislature. I understand over the last couple of years, they haven't been able to really come to a resolution because it's such a complex issue. So now we take it to the voting base, and it does sound attractive, but there's no free lunch.
Rich Keck, I have very well said. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yeah,
have
thanks, Rich. See you. Well, Ken, next on the line is another club member from the Denver Club, and that's Lisa Carnahan. Lisa, good morning. What is your ballot issue you want to talk about?
Good morning, Marshall and Kim. I'm Lisa with Liberty Toastmasters Denver, and I would like to transition into talking about Proposition 113 by touching on something that Trump said during the debate. And he was discussing racial sensitivity training and why he did not want to support that. And he zeroed in on how we are teaching people to hate our country. And I think that there is there are a lot of people who want to make a fundamental change to our country. They think it's a bad place. And I just don't buy into that. I think he also said that we have to go back to our core values. And I think that that's, I agree with him in that respect, that we have this great country that was set up in this amazing fashion with a lot of great thinkers who were wanting to prevent democratic mob rule and really wanted to honor having a republic and the separation of powers, and wrote about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and recognizing that we have inalienable rights. And in regards to, you know, people thinking that other people just fundamentally disagree with each other or dislike each other based on skin color, I'm not seeing that. I see people who are generally, as I go out every day in business or have lunch with people who really are respectful to one another, that they really want to like people and smile at them and get to know them, even though we're wearing masks and it's a time where it's really hard to do that. I think people do just really want to respect and get to know people on an individual level. And that individual level, that individuality, is respectful of us having inalienable rights and thinking that our country is fundamentally a good place to be. And I think a lot of people that are for Proposition 113, the adopting agreement to elect U.S. president by national popular vote, maybe have not spent a lot of time studying the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution and understanding the way our government has been set up. And I think that's something that people need to take that initiative to do, to take the time to read the founding documents and to think about how our country was set up and why it was set up that way and why we have an election process that's electoral and based on states rather than just a popular vote. Like, I understand where people are coming with that, but Terry did just a great job of talking about it. And if I were going to pick one of the ones to talk about, Proposition 113 with the national popular vote is one that's, I think, is really important, because I don't think that our country is a fundamentally horrible place that needs to be changed. I think we are a wonderful country full of wonderful people, and we need to make sure we're asserting that when we go out in the world.
And Proposition 1-3 is the national popular vote, and we are recommending, yes, a vote. We are recommending a no vote on that. Lisa Carnahan, thank you so much. And you just mentioned something that I would really recommend people do, Marshall. Lisa, thank you so much. I just thought about that, is before people vote this time, they should read the Declaration of Independence, and they should read the Constitution, and they should read Rick's and my voter's guide.
Not necessarily in that order, right?
Yeah,
and those are, I haven't read your voter's guide yet, but the Declaration and the Constitution are, they're easy reads.
People
and
should do that.
We don't read that enough. Yeah.
People should do that. So we have just a few minutes left. First of all, thank you for being in studio. It's great to have you here.
Well, you're welcome. I really appreciate the invitation.
And we welcome guests to our Liberty Toastmasters Club's meetings. And Liberty Toastmaster Denver meets the first and third Saturdays, and Liberty North is the second and fourth. Again, how can people get more information?
The way that I recommend is go to toastmasters.org and look for a club near you. We're in Longmont, so punch in Longmont, Colorado, and we'll pop right up there. You'll see us, Liberty Toastmasters North.
During this election time, it's important that we get our brains around these issues and we talk with our friends, our family, and our colleagues. This is one of the most important elections of our lifetimes, and I would much rather engage in the battle of ideas versus the destruction and division that we have seen on our streets. Marshall Dawson, would you like to talk about any of the issues that are on the ballot?
Well, you know, I think many of the callers often are listening to the ones ahead of them and saying, oh, shoot, that was the one I wanted to talk about. I can't believe no one wanted to talk about 117, and this has to do with Tabor and whether we're going to vote on fees or not. We've seen so many end runs around Tabor, and what this does...
And that's the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And look at the sin that I just committed. I didn't call it the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights because that resonates better with people than the term Tabor does.
Okay.
But what we're looking to do is shore up one of those end runs that they've done. If there's an enterprise or any government program that generates money, if it generates more than $100 million over 5 years, we want the opportunity to vote on that, just like we would with a tax increase. I don't think it's too much to ask that people who want to raise more revenue from us, increase
take more
taxes,
of our money,
just make the case and then put your fate in the hands of the voters.
Have the good manners to ask us. And what this end run was, Marshall Dawson, is when the Taxpayer Bill of Rights was put into place, they talked about should a library district have to go and ask the people if they want to increase book fees. And the people that created Tabor said, oh, that doesn't make sense. But as you mentioned, it's now this big, I think that Rick Turnquist said it's this big loophole you could drive an aircraft carrier through.
Sure could.
So thank you so much for being here, Marshall Dawson.
Thank you, Kim.
And again, people can reach us. What's the website?
I say go to Toastmasters.org, punch in Longmont, Colorado, and you'll find Liberty Toastmasters North Club there.
And I really love having our colleagues on and hearing what they think about each of these issues. Sometimes we don't agree on these issues, but it's great to get our brains around them and to be able to speak about it. So again, Marshall Dawson, it's great to have you here.
This is a lot of fun.
Okay.
And you know, Kim, just like what you said about your Monday night meeting at Water's Edge, we can disagree, and nobody runs out, sends a dumpster or a fire or blocks Arapahoe Road or any of that kind of stuff.
We can respectfully disagree, civilly
Yes. Kick
the tires on all these ideas, and that's what we like to do. So Edward R. Murrow said, to be persuasive, we must be believable. To be believable, we must be credible. To be credible, we must be truthful. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a